This is the Voices of the West.
Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And good afternoon on a Saturday. It is Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, and amazingly enough, we've got our long-lost co-host back with us, Mr. Joe Dreyfus.
Yeah, welcome, sir. Found his way back.
Well, when you're just lost, you're lost. There's no excuse here. That's the reason why.
Uh-huh.
Lost. It sounds like a valid reason to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, you've never been lost?
No, I'm
you're
still lost.
You're from New Mexico.
Lost. Hey, I must be lost. I'm in Arizona, not in New Mexico.
Well, see, you instead of being lost in a bad place, you're lost in a great place.
But I'm lost from a greater place.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's your story. You can tell it in any way you want to.
Anyway.
And I'm going to.
Anyway, boys.
Oh, look. No fighting.
Man, you know.
No fighting at the Christmas tree.
Now, listeners, you know what I have to put up with over here. at least I'm on the other side of the so-called
Hey, you're not going to escape today, Harry.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
This
no question.
Christmas battle time.
This is Christmas battle time. Today we are doing a show about Christmas, Christmas in the Old West. And first off, let me let you know that we are broadcasting from the Bruce Ash Studios here in Tucson. And, man, they cleaned it up nice for us.
Hey, they put down a beautiful tablecloth on this, and they put some plates. I thought maybe they were going to feed us, but I think that's for somebody else.
That must be in the nice poinsettia there, and but hey, that's okay.
Yeah, well, I can make a bedroll out of the tablecloth.
Well, yeah, what did I tell Harry? I said, this would make a great shirt. I know an old gal that's a seamstress that could make some really nice shirts out. Several, one for each of us.
Anyway, we're going to be doing Christmas in the Old West today, and we also, before I forget, I want to welcome, we have a brand new sponsor.
We do.
Of the radio program, and it's Arizona Computer Guru here in Tucson. Yes, you'll hear their commercial in just a bit. They're the folks who host the Voices of the West website, and we're happy to have them with us. And, you don't have to be in Tucson to utilize their service. They got this newfangled thing called the Internet. I reckon they can get in touch. You can get in touch with them through this Internet thing.
All you folks down in New Zealand,
yeah,
call us up. We'll advertise your product.
And speaking of calling in, we have a call-in number for you to participate in our program today, and that is 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378. It's a toll-free number. Of course, in this day and age with cell phones, I reckon it doesn't matter.
You can even email us.
You can email us at voicesofthewest@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the Facebook page, please, Voices of the West. Facebook at Voices of the West. Like us, because we do like to be liked. And I think that's about it.
Well, I don't like Bunker.
Well, I know that. That's why you're on the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I got a question for you, Joe, because you've been gone for so long.
Oh, boy, here it goes.
No, I almost didn't recognize him when he walked in.
When you're this handsome, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was like, I thought my eyes were wrong. But anyhow, Joe, what do you call a kid that doesn't believe in Santa?
Me.
What?
Me.
You grumpy old Grinch.
No, I'm going to do my Christmas poem today.
That's right, you are.
Well, but you don't know what you call him a rebel without a clause.
Without a clause.
Breach. We'll be here all week.
Christmas cheer.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we get from New Mexico. There you go. Well, Harry, I may very quickly tell my Christmas story and poem.
Joe, I would, and I think our listeners would absolutely love to hear it, please.
Okay, I do this every year.
Yes, you do.
I have to tell about my worst practical, well, I thought it was a good practical joke.
I did too.
But, I think it's great.
And so we've got a couple of people now deceased that told me every year I should tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
Amel being one of them, mm-hmm. Phil Cedar being another. Mm-hmm. Okay, years ago, when I hunt, I...
And by the way, they're both listening.
I know that. That when I hunt, I put down a tarp, and I put down my gear on the tarp, and I take inventory. Mm-hmm. That was my training as a child, inventory. When you go on a hunt, don't forget anything, and make sure you got plenty of the right stuff. So I'm putting all these things down. My daughter is 5 years old, Amanda, the oldest daughter, and she starts seeing all these things that have been stored away that she's never seen. Mm-hmm. And I told her, Amanda, get out of my stuff. Get off that tarp. You can look from the outside of the tarp. Don't touch my stuff. So I'm getting more equipment, and I come back, and the child is touching the stuff,
imagine
if
that.
You will.
Imagine that.
And I said, Amanda, if you don't get off that tarp and leave my stuff alone, I'm going to kill Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mm-hmm. At which time she turned around, you can't do that. He's magical. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, Daddy. And I said, yeah, I can. So I take off the next morning, drive down the Chiricahua, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's over. I have harvested a deer. Mm-hmm. So in view of the ranch boy attitude, you know, this is a celebration.
Yeah.
I have meat. I can make jerky, whatever.
That's right.
So I drive the 100-some miles back to Tucson. Now it's dark. And on the dirt road going in, I remembered what I told my daughter. So I stopped the truck, took out my little tiny pocket flashlight, turned it on, mm-hmm. slipped it in the deer's mouth, mm-hmm. put one of those, and at that time it was a Grant Road
lumber
yeah. red flag, yeah. red plastic.
I remember those.
Yep. And put it around the deer's nose and wired it off, wired it down, mm-hmm. pulled into the yard, backed up. into the position to hang the deer and take care of it. Mm-hmm. And my daughter and my wife come out, did you get a deer? Did you get a deer? And I reached back in it. And, of course, it's pitch black out there, you know.
Right.
I reached in the back of the truck and pulled this deer's head up over the tailgate and said, I got Rudolph. Now, what is fascinating is I'm telling this on air, and I have for years, 8 years continuously.
Yep.
This is year 9, I
That's
do
right.
believe.
Yeah.
And to this day, if I tell that story in front of people when my wife is around, mm-hmm. she will not talk to me hardly for 2 days. Mm-hmm. She's still angry.
And what about Mandy?
She says she's traumatized.
Yeah, you did.
You triggered that poor young woman.
Yes, yes. And
now, Amanda's the one who went into nursing, right?
Both of them.
Yeah. Both of them. Well, that's probably why. She went in to heal people.
Yeah, and she's uh-huh. an emergency room charge nurse. Go figure that one.
Just in case they bring Rudolph in.
Yeah, yeah. She'll save him. So with that said, I would like to do my poem. It's called Santa's Last Flight. It's dedicated to men at the working man that works all the time for nothing but his family. And it's been published in 3 different magazines. So with that said, pardon me, Christmas time. Some say it's a joyous time of year. I think differently because Christmas causes me such financial fear. The thought of my wife and kids of running around with all that cash gives me indigestion and a burning, bleeding rash. Scooting through stores with a charge card and a checkbook gives a working man in need of a second or third job. Maybe I'll become a nighttime cook. But one night as I lay in my favorite chair having some Kahlua and cream, I fell asleep and had the most satisfying dream. See, I dreamt I was set up on a lonely, secluded ridge, because I like to hunt deer like some folks like to play bridge. With my rifle in hand and plenty of bullets to burn, I was hunting deer, which makes my heart yearn. When down the slope came the most incredible sight, yep, it was Santa driving 9 reindeer in flight. After decades of Christmas poverty and financial peril, I had sand in the crosshairs looking down my barrel. Suddenly it occurred to me, why make it so humane, easy, and quick? I really want to make it painful and slow for old Saint Nick. I devised a way for him to crash. Oh, what a brilliant plan. I could think of nothing more appropriate for some red-suited, bearded, little old fat man. Dasher was the first one I started to drill. Oh, what fun, I had 8 more to kill. See, per my plan, I shot from back to front. I gotta tell you, this was the ultimate hunt. Blitzing was the second to the last to get it from my gun. I repeat, oh, what fun. That deer with a big rack and a blinking red nose at the front, he was the last trophy of one incredible hunt. As planned, Santa hit first, and I wasn't forlorn. It was cowboy justice, seeing that little fat guy impaled upon a horn. I went through his sacks, and there wasn't much that would last. Just some smashed-up toys and all my receipts from Christmas is past. No, I didn't feel bad or mean or like a real turkey, because I was about to make 900 pounds of venison jerky. When my wife and kids woke me from my fantasy dream and said sweetly, oh, honey, we're not done Christmas shopping. We need more money. I cannot win for losing, you know?
You know, I think in the annals of history, it's so much. This one is so much better than Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Yeah. We ought to set it to some music.
Well, thank you.
Maybe we have
poetic justice.
We have our first guest for 2018 is Janice Deardorff.
Great.
Deardorff, and so maybe she can set that
Deardorff.
To music. Deardorff. So maybe
Joe's
she can,
gotta be here.
I know, so maybe she can set that to music.
Is she gonna be on the phone or in studio?
She'll be in studio.
Oh, well, you know how much fun I have with these people.
I know. Yeah, she'll be in studio. I'm
more fun than the law.
I'm bringing my my blues harps. She's got a blues tune to do, and see if I can keep up with it. And yeah, I know he rolls it. Look at this. He rolls his eyes.
You forget.
I know you're a musician.
No. My dad was a musician.
I know.
And my adopted brother's in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
And I understand.
I've been around a few musicians.
And I'll tell you what,
I've been a musician a long time as well.
Joe can play music. He knows how to turn the radio on.
You don't have a 1954 L7 Gibson in your closet, do
no,
you?
No, I do not, because I don't play guitar.
I don't either.
All right.
That's awful.
Yeah, the most sought-after guitar
that's
in the
right
planet.
Well, you know,
I know.
Joe and his wife, you know, they exchange gifts every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He exchanges the one she gives him, and she exchanges the one he gives her.
I know, but you know, the day after Christmas, it's a national holiday. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah. It's not Boxing.
You didn't know that. He's from New Mexico.
It's not Boxing Day in Canada. It might be Boxing Day at the Dreyfus house.
It might be Boxing Day here pretty quick.
No, it's Boxing Day at the Dreyfus household because it's his birthday.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
It's a national holiday. I got
that in my book.
Yeah.
You have a book?
Yeah.
It's
a calendar book, but it's still a book.
Scary. You know, I'm so bad at birthdays. I'm kidding you not, guys.
Yeah, you are. You missed
for
mine
Christmas,
last several years.
For Christmas, my mother made up this chart.
Oh, my God.
And she put all kinds of cool artwork on it. And it lists every one of my siblings, her birthday, my grandmother's birthday, all the family's birthday on this chart.
Mm-hmm.
But yours?
I'll be danged if I can find a dang thing.
Senior moment.
Yeah. But I can remember my wife's. It's very easy. You know my love of history, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Hers is the day before the Ides of March.
There you go.
See, that's how I remember.
That's easy.
Yeah, beware the Ides of March.
Yeah, beware the wife that doesn't get her birthday present.
Yeah,
that's right.
I know that one for sure. I think we all do at some point in time.
Well, you know, Joe knows about the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of the present and the ghost of the future. But the ghost he really knows best is the ghost of early Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. You know, I got to tell you guys why I'm such a bah humbug on Christmas. And you think about it. This is 1975. Okay, I'd worked my tail off in construction. I'd saved, and I always mm-hmm. need to save and save and save. Mm-hmm. And I partied Christmas Eve, and a bunch of my friends came over, and I was still...
In partying mode?
Yeah. something about Cooter Jones, and I don't know.
I see.
You know.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And I went Christmas shopping drunk.
Okay.
Okay. And then my friends drove me around. I delivered all these gifts that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christmas Day, I realized I had just blown about $1,500 in 1975.
Ooh.
With today's dollars, that's several thousand.
Yeah, and so I hate Santa Claus. That's why I killed him in prose.
I understand.
Yeah, no wonder you hate Santa.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Well, you know, I'm gonna
we'll try and. I know it's gonna be difficult, but we'll try and cheer you up.
Yeah, well, I want to tell a Christmas story. This is a personal one.
You're from New Mexico. How do you tell stories?
Wait, don't you besmirch Mexico or New Mexico.
Okay, all right, let it rip, buddy.
Or Canada, for that matter.
Let it rip, buddy.
Okay. Anyhow, you know, when my mom was alive, the only Christmas I ever missed with my mom was when I was in the Navy and I was away and I couldn't get home. Mm-hmm. After that, though, every Christmas I went and spent with my mom. I'd quit a job if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
It meant so much to her. And I was living out in California working in the pictures, and this was the year after my mom.
Picking prunes.
This was the year. This is a sad story.
Here. Okay.
The year after my mom passed away, I'm out there, you know, and I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. Well, Jack Lilly, he's a Wrangler boss. He has his own. He's one of the top Wrangler bosses in picture business still. But Jack was a stuntman. He stood in and doubled for Leif Erickson on mm-hmm. Chaparral, and we got to be very good friends. And when I moved out to California, he lived up there in Saugus, and I used to go up all the time. And half the cowboys that worked the picture business was always out there at Jack's because mm-hmm. he had an open house
mm-hmm.
and an open beer cooler about there by the by the feed barn. But anyhow, I was out there one day, and this is, you know, late December, and Jack said, "What are you doing for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, not much." I said, "Yeah, my mom passed away, and I'm not doing anything." He says, "Why don't you come out here?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't want to put you." I said, "No." He says, "We're going up to some friends," and he said, "Bring anybody you want." I said, "Okay." So I come out early, and we made the drive out in that late afternoon. And the fellow that we were going to visit lived up on the north side of the mountains there,
mm-hmm.
over by Antelope Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guy that would furnish horses and stuff for Jack from time to time. So we got up there. And this is back up there in the mountains, kind of hard to get to. And by the time we get there, it's dark. You know, you can see a little old ranch house. And this is the old style ranch houses. This isn't, you know, this isn't Hollywood ranch house. Mm-hmm. This is just a little old house, simple. We walk in, and man, the table is just loaded with food and stuff. There's a Christmas tree over in the corner, and these are all cow people, horse people, and I'll tell you, that meant so much to me because I wasn't with my family. I wasn't mm-hmm. with my mom. And I was with the kind of people I wanted to be with,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah. And to me, that's always one of my special Christmases. I don't know if Jack even remembers it, but it was a very special Christmas.
You know, Bunker, you touch on something that I can't properly articulate it to the urban dweller. But the livestock people are a culture unto their own. And at this, you know, what he was saying is, "Hey, you're one of us, let's go celebrate." And you were as welcome there as you were in your own mother's home.
Just like at home.
Yes, and you were home. you were home for Christmas. And you can't articulate that to people.
Right.
You know, when the girls were little, I had a contractor not pay us on 15 homes. It was $72,000.
Wow.
And I was totally broke. I found all of my employees' jobs. I mean, it busted us.
Yeah.
And, you know, government still wants their FICA and FUTA and all that good
right.
stuff. And so I'm, you know, hand to mouth. And I just happened to hit a side job, a little bitty job, enough to get, and they were little girls. This was in 88. You know, enough Christmas to make it Christmassy. But then, you know, we're 3 days out, and the oldest girl looks at me and said, "Daddy, where's the tree?" And, you know, what do you do? Yeah, they don't understand.
Right.
And I looked at her and I said, "Well, I want to do a cowboy Christmas." And, of course, she kind of looked at me and I says, "Come on. You pick the limb off of the mesquite tree. You pick the one we want to cut. It's got to be a long one." And I cut a limb off of one of our mesquite trees, took it in the house, and I said, "We're going to decorate with my bits and spurs and then the lights and the Christmas ornaments."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it had that...
It's special.
Special.
Very special.
Yeah. Home welcoming.
Done with love.
And you know what? We did that tradition for a decade.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
We got to take a break, guys. And our phone number, if you'd like to join us in the conversation here, is 844. This is toll-free, 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378. Joe Bunker and myself will be right back after these.
The snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, and his eyes made out of coal.
Emil Franzi's Voices of the West will be right back.
The children laugh and play, and were they surprised when before their eyes he came to life that day?
You know, one way to really tell if you're at a restaurant that really cares about the food it serves? If it has one, check the bar. You don't have to be much of a drinker to know which liquors are quality. That's why you can tell that Highfalutin, that rapid-fire Western grill at 6780 North Oracle, just south of Ina, really takes pride in what it does by the quality of the liquor it serves and the beer on tap. The choices at the bar are as broad as the menu at Highfalutin, and even the well drinks are more than acceptable. Unlike some places where they just come with a barcode. If a restaurant doesn't care about the quality of its drinks, they've cut corners on the food. Highfalutin never has cut either and never will. Highfalutin, 6780 North Oracle, open daily for lunch and dinner with great sandwiches, salads, pastas, steaks, and comfort foods like pot roast and
meatball. Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
We never should have taken that shortcut. Look where it's led us, straight into a trap. We should have turned back. We should have turned back. I wanted to.
Aye, quiet. There's a way out of every place.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa was much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy.
Our daddy looked a lot like him.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
They thought I was tucked in bed. They never thought that I'd come a peeping.
And we are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos.
Buck Owens, yeah. Sounds like a chipmunk.
Man, I enjoyed him so much, lots of his music.
Especially when it was on Hee Haw.
But, I mean, Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield sound. Yep. And, too, a lot of people didn't know, he had some of the finest pickers in his world. Not in the United States.
Yep.
The world.
He proved that you can do it without Nashville.
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's probably one of the first of the so-called rebel country guys, along with David Allen Coe and so forth. Anyway, we are back. 844-908-WEST is the number to call if you want to get involved here. Tell us your Christmas story about the Old West if you want, if you even have one. If not, make one up.
Yeah.
844-908-9378. Now, back in yon day, obviously there weren't lots of Christmas trees out on the trail. I mean, there were, but not necessarily decorated. What do you guys know from Joe's your living history?
Oranges.
Yeah, oranges and apples.
Oranges. Well, no.
But oranges, yeah, in the stocking.
Even, of course,
fruit.
Every year my mother would go and buy a live tree,
mm-hmm.
and then afterwards plant it. Now they're mm-hmm. 90 feet tall in the front yard mm-hmm. there at the ranch. But the biggest thing I remember was those navel oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And that tradition goes clear back to when she was a little girl and clear back mm-hmm. to the time when my grandmother
was a
young girl that, you know, they didn't get that was very seasonal.
Sure.
And hearing it, you know, on his ranch is like, oh boy, navel orange.
Right. And they're yummy to boot. You know, obviously, I suppose the Sears catalog was out, the Montgomery Ward catalog was out, but you know, nobody had money to get stuff from those catalogs. So lots of toys were made, corn husk dolls, and for the girls, and maybe the guys.
The other thing that I was gifted, and it burned up in the fire, we had a neighbor that when we bought the ranch when I was like 12, okay, he was in his almost 80, and did you work on McClintock?
Mm-mm, I was still in the Navy then.
Oh, okay. He was part of, you know, he worked on McClintock. Mr. Sugart, his son Jim Sugart, was a cattle inspector in Cochise County. He wove me a bridle, mm-hmm. a horsehair bridle.
Wow.
Still have it? No, it burned up in the fire.
Mm.
And to this day, I can look at that little piece of ground where the house sat. The chimney is still standing.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at I want to cry.
Sure.
What I would give to have that horsehair bridle. And the way it was woven, I mean, this guy had come out of the mm-hmm. 1800s off the Cimarron Strip is where mm-hmm. he's raised. And the way that thing comes together to grab the bit, I mean, you just slip it on there, and it's not coming out, okay?
No. Tight and strong.
Lots of homemade gifts as opposed to coming from the big stores these days. That, I think, is what really featured out on the trail.
You know what I got every year? Yeah. This make Bunker laugh. I really didn't want much more than ammunition. I got
coal.
Okay,
coal.
Okay, I got a box of 22 shells, mm-hmm. a brand new pair of boots, mm-hmm. and a brand new 5/8 hard lay nylon rope.
Nice.
Now, if people don't understand about hard lay, and I think the New Mexican does, Harry, a hard lay is just a tick off of guy wire.
Wow.
I mean, it is the hardest, stiffest mm-hmm. thing.
More spring than a Model T.
Mm. Absolutely. But my parents' philosophy was, if I got that rope broke in, it'd take me a whole year.
There you go.
And it wouldn't wear out, and it wouldn't break.
Yeah.
Until, and seriously, mm-hmm. think about it, you know.
So, you can tall pick up with one of those.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bull, whatever you want
to. In fact, that's what some of the old-timers used to do. They'd tie it off to something and then tie it off to the bumper and stretch it out.
And go.
Get the kinks out.
And what's comical as time goes on, what did Buckshot Sorrels use?
That type of rope.
But he only would build a loop this big. And he talked to the old-timers that rodeoed with him and said when he threw it, it sounded like a bullet going through the air.
Wow. You know, I get the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, but and I know you will, even if I'm not. I get the sense that back in the day, out on the ranch, the workers really did not follow a particular calendar unless it was time for roundup and that kind of a thing. So the Christmas holiday did not have the same impact then as it does now for lots of people, especially kids.
I've got to disagree.
Correct him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit him hard.
Because, you know, one, you hit on part of it. You got somebody out there who's their calendar is pretty much the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the spring, you've got a roundup. In the fall, you got a roundup. And that's predicated by the seasons.
Right.
Well, in the fall, the weather, the days start getting shorter. The weather starts getting colder. But the work doesn't get any easier. And in fact, sometimes it gets harder because you're doing it under conditions of rain, snow, sleet, ice.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're getting closer to the holidays, and this is one of the things, too, the movies do it a lot. If, unless you're the hero, everybody's kind of, they portray them as being kind of dumb and slow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these old cowboys, you know, a lot of the guys coming out from the farms in Iowa and Nebraska were probably homeschooled at best.
Sure.
And a lot of them were illiterate. But once they got out there, they had, you know, there was still, you know, all that work and you put in, you still had time on your hands. That's where the cowboy poetry came out. And a lot of these guys were so well read, but they never flaunted it or showed it. You wouldn't know if he could read even. I was like, Joe, I don't know if Joe can read. But I wouldn't ask him. It would be embarrassment.
Well, you touched on something that I think is so unique. From all of the old timers, and trust me, I grew up around some really, 1800 guys.
Sure.
As a child.
John Bailey.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good example. Okay. When you talk about well-read, and what was interesting about that group of men and women is they would suggest to you, you need to read this. Katie bar the door if you didn't, okay? I mean, they were very serious about this is to your education and part of their culture. Now, the one thing that they all did... And a lot of people don't know, and as he alluded to, the work slows down about that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And to take it back to my old program, the visit. They would go visit one another for a day or two.
Yeah.
And stay, you know.
See how everybody's doing,
maybe
a
C-bar cowboy would ride 50 miles and stay at a ranch for a few days with his buds that he'd worked with, or the owner, just to visit. And they would. They'd make like a circuit of visiting. I think the attitude of fellowship and camaraderie was far more prevalent in that day than it
today.
Is today.
Oh, for sure.
Would you disagree?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a poem here.
You can.
It's a little long. It's the Cowboys Christmas Ball. You want to do a break?
Yeah, let's do a break first and then come back and do that. 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378. The number to phone if you want to get involved here with us on our Christmas program here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back.
Santa.
Mama had a cup of coffee and he ate a little snack. Throwed his old pack right over his back. Opened the window of his little shack and shouted, "Oh, dash around, dance, vixen and blitzen, come on here. We're gonna get a going and spread some cheer. So limber your legs and sharpen your hooves, 'cause tonight is the night we're gonna jump to the roofs." Well, the reindeer, they were so proud and grand to take another trip all over the land. They jumped right into their proper place to get hepped up for that midnight race.
Emil Franzig's Voices of the West will be right back.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
When looking for a property management company, here are some things you should consider. How long has the company been in business? What types of properties can they manage for you? And does the company give back to the community? Well, your search is over. The Polash Management Company meets and exceeds those considerations. They've been in business in Tucson, Arizona since the 1960s. They manage all types of properties throughout Arizona and elsewhere, from residential to commercial to public sector properties. The Polash Management Company also dedicates its time and resources to numerous community projects, including help funding the drive for the USS Arizona Memorial at the University of Arizona. You also want a property management company that puts you, the customer, first. Contact the Polash Management Company today at polashmanagement.com and ask about the complete package, or call 520-795-2100. That's 520-795-2100. The Polash Management Company. Property managers you can trust. Are you partial to the Old West of its ways? Like watching Old West movies with cowboys running cattle over sprawling rangeland? Do you have a passion for Old West history? Answered yes to any of those questions, then you ought to join the Empire Ranch Foundation as a member. The nonprofit was started to help preserve the historic Empire Ranch in Southeast Arizona and the ways of the Old West. It's one of the last great cattle ranches of the Old West and the site for numerous movies like Monty Walsh, Red River, and The 3:10 to Yuma. Your membership will help preserve the historic ranch buildings, get you special ticket prices to all Empire Ranch events, and being with others who share your passion for the Old West. Learn more at EmpireRanchFoundation.org or call 888-364-2829. That's EmpireRanchFoundation.org or 888-364-2829.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop.
Welcome back to Emil Franzig's Voices of the West.
We let the Christmas spirit ring.
And we are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. It's our Christmas program for 2017. And before we move back over to Bunker to talk about that poem, I want to tell you there's some big doings happening at the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club starting January the 2nd, and it goes all the way through January the 7th. It's their Fun in the Sun Trap Shoot. It's a Tucson Trap and Skeet Club. They're located 7800 West Old Ajo Way here in Tucson, Arizona. Check them out on the web at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com. Bunker, you've
open
got a poem.
Shotgun Breach.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is a poem called The Cowboy's Christmas Ball, and I think it kind of answers what you were asking about what Christmas was like. And this is written by a fellow named Larry Crittenden. He lived in around Anson. And this is what another fellow named Jack Thorpe, he was a New Mexico rancher, cowboy, school teacher, wrote the poem Little Joe the Wrangler. Mm-hmm. And this is what he had to say about the song of the poem before I go into it. "I received this song from Miss Jessie Forbes at Eddy, New Mexico in 1898. I understand it was one of a collection of Chittenden's entitled Ranch Verse. So this, you know, so we're predating this before 1898.
Okay.
That it's about the Cowboys' Christmas ball. Way out in western Texas, where the Clear Fork's water flow, where the cattle are a-brewing and the Spanish ponies grow, where the northers come a-whistling from beyond the neutral strip, and the prairie dogs are sneezing as though they had the grip, where the coyotes come a-howling round the ranches after dark, and the mockingbirds are singing to the lovely meadowlark, where the possum and the badger and the rattlesnake abound, and the monstrous stars are winking over a wilderness profound, where lonesome tawny prairies meet into airy streams, while the double mountains slumber in heavenly kind of dreams, where the antelope is grazing and the lonely plover calls. It was there that I attended the Cowboys' Christmas ball. The town was Anson City, old Jones County seat, where they raised polled Angus cattle and waving whiskered wheat, where the air is soft and balmy and dry and full of health, and the prairies is exploding with agricultural wealth, where they print the Texas Western that Hugh McCall supplies with news and yarns and stories of most amazing size, where Frank Smith pulls the badger on no tender feet, and democracy's triumphant and mighty hard to beat, where lives that good old hunter, John Millsap from Lamar, who used to be the sheriff back east in Paris, sir. 'Twas there, I say, at Anson, with the lovely Widder Wall, that I went to that reception, the Cowboys' Christmas ball. The boys had left the ranches and to town in piles. The ladies, kind of scattered, had gathered in for miles. And yet the place was crowded, as I remember well. 'Twas gave on this occasion at the Morning Star Hotel. The music was a fiddle and a lively tambourine, and a viol came imported by the stage from Abilene. The room was tagged out gorgeous with mistletoe and shawls, and the candles flickered festious around the airy walls. The women folks looked lovely. The boys looked kind of treed, till the leader commenced to yelling, "Whoa, fellers, let's stampede." And the music started sighing and a wailing through the hall as a kind of introduction to the Cowboys' Christmas ball. The leader was a feller that came from Thompson's Ranch. They called him Windy Billy from Little Dead Man's Branch. His rig was kind of careless, big spurs and high-heeled boots. He had the reputation that comes when fellers shoots. His voice was like a bugle upon the mountains high. His feet were animated and a mighty moving sight. When he commenced to holler, "Now, fellers, stake your pin. Lock horns to all them heifers and rustle them like men. Shoot your lovely critters now, swing 'em and let 'em go. Climb the grapevine round all hands, do-si-do. You mavericks jined around up, just skip the waterfall." It was getting active, the Cowboys' Christmas ball. The boys were tolerable skittish, the ladies powerful neat. That old bass viol music just got there with both feet. That wailing, frisky fiddler, I never shall forget. And Wendy kept singing, "I think I hear him yet. Oh, yes, chase your squirrels and cut them to our side. Spurred Treadwell to the center with Cross P, Charlie's bride. Doc Hallis down the middle and twice the lady's chain. Van Andrews pinned the fiddlies in Big D Diamond's train. All pull your freight together now, swallow fork and change. Big Boston lead the trail herd through Little Pitchfork's rain. Around your gentle pussies now, roping and balance all." Whoo! It was getting active, the Cowboys' Christmas ball. The dust riz fast and furious. We all just galloped round till the scenery got so giddy that T-Bar Dick was down. We buckled to our partners and told them to hold on. Then I shook our hoofs like lightning till the early morning dawn. Don't tell me about cotillions or Germans. No, siree. That whirl at Anson City just takes the cake with me. I'm sick of lazy shuffling of them. I've had my fill. Give me a frontier breakdown backed up by Windy Bill. McAllister, he ain't nowhere when Windy leads the show. I've seen them both in harness, so I sort of ought to know. Old Bill, I shan't forget you. I'll oftentimes recall that lively gated soiree, the Cowboys' Christmas Ball.
Big doings. Big doings.
Yeah, but, you know, that's cool. Now, stop and think about this. That's out of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it keeps going forward culturally.
Mm-hmm.
The rodeo dance in Sonoyta. And then they used to have a dance once a month in Dragoon, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more fun than allowed by law. And they actually, my fondest memory was a deputy by the name of Ray Coffey. And there was a guy that tried to start a fight in a dance hall. He was drunk. And they took him down, and they took him outside. And, of course, I was about, like, 16 at the time. And there was an oak tree out there with a big old limb sticking out. And Ray Coffey handcuffed him around a limb. And when he did, he told that old boy, he says, you know, you need to sober up, man. This behavior is not acceptable. I'm not going to arrest you, but I want to dance with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned to all us younger guys and says, don't you boys be poking him or kicking him or anything, you know. Just leave him alone. Let him think about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went back into the dance. But the fact remains is that dance, you know, that celebration and good behavior and all that, and that brought a lot of cool memories back for me.
Well, you know, they still have that dance in Anson. And Michael Martin Murphy has got the rights to the Cowboy Christmas Ball. The name.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't get the rights to make a profit. He got the rights so that anybody that wants to do a Cowboy Christmas Ball
has to
do it right.
The way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that demonstrates, in what you're saying, Joe, that demonstrates the togetherness that everybody had mm-hmm. in the small community, because you have to, you all got to be on the same page, otherwise someone's going to fall down somewhere along the line.
And you know, the community,
looking out for each other.
I was raised in, those ladies used to have like a week before Christmas be three nights of baking.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I benefited. You know, you got cookies from every family.
I remember the one time I was fortunate enough to celebrate Christmas with a friend of mine, colleague. She's Hispanic and Tohono. And I was over at her place learning how to do tamales. And, I mean, that still sticks with me.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Well, you know, this is the Southwest, and I don't care if you're in New Mexico.
Or Arizona.
Or Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Christmas, about California, though.
Well, the southern part of California. Yeah. Very tip.
Yeah. About where Todd Roberts is situated down south.
Yeah, but Christmas Eve dinner,
yeah.
traditionally,
yeah.
is tamales and menudo.
Oh, yeah.
Especially.
Yeah, exactly.
And people say, oh, menudo. And I said, no, you don't understand. Menudo is a meal of celebration.
That's right.
After you butcher the cow.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, and ladies.
That's what you do with the tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw your picture of it on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm raising my granddaughter right.
You are.
Good.
Gentlemen.
She wanted it for dinner and for breakfast.
Good
there you
for
go.
Her.
There you go. We got to do our last break, guys. And we'll be back right after this.
The stars are bright, and the snow is white on the trail I ride along. And I sing a theme
Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back.
You glow at the ranch below.
Let's face it, nobody wants to get old, but it's a fact of life. It's going to happen. So with that in mind, you need to plan for the inevitable for you and for your loved ones. That's why you should consult attorneys Ron Zach and Chanel Schmitz. Their practice is all about elder law, putting together wills and trusts, and estate planning. They're committed to make a difference for you and your loved ones. Let them help you plan for the future. Call 520-664-3420 or visit them on the web at TucsonEstatePlanning.com. That's 520-664-3420 or TucsonEstatePlanning.com.
Give me a stiff one, barkeep.
Don't touch that dial.
It's more fun than a sack full of squirrels.
Imus Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you, as they did us, design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do.
777-1911. Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Did you know that Santa Claus is a Texas cowboy? And he sings a song as he goes along his way. Did you know that Santa Claus is a Texas cowboy? And he sings along with a ho-ho-ho, yeah.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. That was Red Sovine, Santa's Texas Cowboy.
And we're more fun than a sack full of Scrooges.
There you go.
We're
in the waning moments.
Grinchy snooze.
We're in the waning moments of our program. Still time to get your 2 cents in here if you want. 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378 is the number to call. We'll pop you right on the air right fast.
Well, you know, last year at Christmas time, Santa was running a little late, so he kind of rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got to his first stop on his around-the-world Christmas tour,
mm-hmm.
come down the chimney, opened up the bag, exclaimed, "Jeepers, I brought the garbage bag by mistake."
Was it Santa from New Mexico or... You know, I mean, come on.
Okay, got another question for you, Joe.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now what's red and white, red and white, and red and white?
Roses.
No, Santa Claus falling off a snow-covered roof.
There you go. It's kind of like, you know, what's...
Be kind now. It's Christmas. I still got a sack of coal.
Okay. What's black and blue, lays in a bar ditch, and blonde?
You on the way home after a Christmas party?
My date from last night.
No. No, and brunette. Pardon me. Black and blue, lays in a bar ditch, and it's brunette. It's a brunette that told one too many blonde jokes.
Yeah, right. Oh, golly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a the theme, obviously, is Western stuff. And I remember, I think, it's one of the best Christmas memories I have. Must have been 4 or 5 years old. And, of course, who didn't want to be a cowboy at 4 or 5 years right. old back then? Right. And so I got for Christmas... Santa came through to the house early.
Real Santa?
Well, to me it was. All right?
Yeah.
And I got this giant box. I mean, it's almost as big as this table. Not quite that big, but big. And it was Fort Apache with the...
you had one too.
Making the fort. You had the horses. They had the Indians. Had the cowboys. Yeah.
My Aunt Louise got us that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was so cool. And it probably took... 5 hours to set them up.
Yep.
But it took 6 hours to clean them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And real easy to knock down.
Yeah.
Because the Indians attack.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
Well, I got a Red Ryder Daisy BB gun for a birthday, I mean Christmas 1 year. I mean, I must
amazingly enough, you didn't put out your eye.
Huh? I never put my eye out. And, you know, it's funny, when my folks passed away and I had an estate sale, and my stepdad, he was a gunsmith, did all kinds of stuff, but he had all kinds of really neat, nice hunting guns. And I had an old Browning shotgun that belonged to my dad, and I had a 270 with a scope. So I threw all my guns in there because mm-hmm. I was going back to California, and I didn't know what to do with them. And I put that Daisy BB gun in there. Guess what was the highest seller yeah. was that BB gun.
I'll bet. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you see one today, and it's like you go back to 6 years old.
Easily. You know, there was a live production of A Christmas Story on Fox on Sunday. And the critics were all, well, this isn't very good. And I'm thinking, how can they, I don't even understand where they're coming from with that kind of a thing, because to me it was the most entertaining thing I've seen on television in a long, long time that was in color.
It was made to entertain. Yeah. It wasn't made to impress you.
Well, and there was nothing being blown up or anything like that, so I guess that's why the critics didn't like it.
Well, it's like we said yesterday, you know, the television critics, they're not used to doing
movies.
Just like you said, it was for a Broadway musical.
Yeah, it came from that, yeah.
And they're not used to looking at that kind of stuff. Right. They don't even know how to judge it.
I just, for me, it was, it brought back so many memories of my childhood at Christmas time at that age. You know, and I didn't have any siblings of that age. I was the only one. So, but still, it was just cool. I thoroughly enjoyed that show.
Well, you know, it was one of the things that was really neat. Just when Ruidoso, it seemed like I remember 1 year, we hadn't had any snow at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent Christmas Eve over at Bobby and Brenda Sparks. They were my best friends, and their folks were my folks' best friends. So I spent Christmas Eve over at their place. I wake up in the morning, and I'm in their bedroom, and I got a little bed, and they've got their bed. And I look out the window, and there's about 3 feet of snow, and it snowed during the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there's something about going outside on Christmas Day and playing, and there's no tracks in the snow but yours and your friends.
I remember sometime in the 1980s, we had snow on Christmas Eve here in Tucson. And boy, I made a lot of money with that when I was a reporter, because it doesn't usually do that sort of thing around this time of year here in Tucson.
You just touched on a memory, and this was on my face. I probably should have posted it back as a memory, but I'll never forget that Christmas Eve, we had a snowstorm hit on a river. And it dropped about 6 inches. But then it blew off and it froze. I mean, it was cold. And it gets cold on a river anyway. We're 20 degrees different on a San Pedro. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, because it's different, you know, when you're not raised in snow country. Went down to check a bunch of first calf heifers. You know, you're going down there every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon came up.
Mm, beautiful.
And it cleared off, and I mean cold. And what was so cool about it is I could stand on that dike and see all the cattle. I mean, it's almost like daylight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you could
yep.
see them breathe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
the steam coming off of them.
Yeah, and
yeah.
You know, I'd never seen that before.
Those are memories.
And it's a Christmas memory I'll never forget.
I know.
Well, 1916, it snowed here in Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't around.
My grandmother was.
Yeah, your grandmother was. Neither my dad wasn't around. He was still in Chicago at that point. Anyway, gents, we are unfortunately out of time here, and we're going to go off with Mr. Gene Autry here instead of our usual theme because
This is for Joe.
Thank you.
Hey, he's loading up. Look out, Harry.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
A great new year. We got it coming, guys.
It is. Stay with us.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the West.
Joining any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa.